It's a time machine, that sound. I hear it and 30 years of memories flick by in front of my eyes, waiting to be picked like a Netflix menu. It's right there, nestled in front of a movie. The next 2 hours of your life haven't happened yet, but when you hear that noise, you don't know yet if those 2 hours are going to be great, thrilling, sad, rubbish, or just fine. That noise means potential and hope. It's the future. Everything is still to play for. But more so for me, those drums mean something else. It means the past. When I hear them, I always picture when about halfway through them, the logo fades and goes into the green Lucasfilm logo. Now you might know the exact logo I'm talking about if you've seen Star Wars. It's about halfway through it, 20th Century Fox has begun to fade, and there it is. It's the last thing you see before a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. The last thing you're going to hear is the final B flat major of the fanfare before you hear the next B flat major kick in. And at that point, there's no going back. Your time machine has just turned into a hyperdrive, and one that just happens to sound like a trumpet. Scattered around the place are evidence of how this is weaved throughout my life. VHSs turning into special editions, turning into DVDs and Blu-rays. They are coordinates on a map showing bad haircuts and heartbreak, Saturday nights and Sunday mornings, a life lived through box sets on a shelf. Stephen's Day is my earliest memory. I've no idea why I can remember this so clearly. For people outside of Ireland, Stephen's Day is what we call the day after Christmas. I'm unwrapping the last gift of the year, a toy ice cream truck where Donald Duck is serving customers and Mickey is driving. The Del and Rodney of the toy ice cream world. Research will tell me that this must be 1989, so I'd be four in a bit. Couldn't have been a great toy, as I remember putting it down when I saw my brother go into the other room where the TV was as Return of the Jedi was starting. I swear I can remember hearing the fanfare through the wall. I don't even remember going in to watch it at all. I just remember sitting there for ages and soaking up this adventure. 1990. My parents' now retired Betamax is in mine and my brother's bedroom, next to an old Bush television and a box of liberated old Betamaxes from the local video shop, which included Jaws 3, classic, The Complete Roadrunner, and the jet plane packed 1980s Clint Eastwood movie Firefox. But one evening, our cousins come over with a taped Betamax copy of A New Hope, or just Star Wars to the purists. Ads from the telly type taped job.
There's great trading deals this week at Power City, like £70 against this Beko extra large fridge freezer.
And with a £50 trade in.
This is the only one of the trilogy I had yet to see. Like a lot of things to happen in my life, I did these things backwards. It went Jedi, Empire, and now finally, A New Hope. And my God, it was glorious. Ads and all. Trip to Dublin, 1992. Widescreen edition VHS releases. I remember seeing my brother run up the stairs of HMV, where he and the previously mentioned cousins reacted to seeing them there on the shelf. I also remember then seeing my brother trying to convince my owlad that we have to buy these editions because these are the ones we've been waiting for. Of course it was. They were in widescreen.
So you think you've seen the whole of the Star Wars legend on video? Well, think again.
You could see an extra star in some of the scenes. And frankly, I think we could all do with that every now and again. 1997, special edition cinema re-release. They did one a month upstairs in the Arklow Ormond Cinema. My mother would take my brother and I, and for the first time, that fanfare and that logo lit up the big screen. 16th of July, 1999, Seabreeze Festival in Arklow and the opening of The Phantom Menace. My brother and I are back in the Arklow Cinema. We're sitting to the left of a mostly empty screen. Opening night has apparently been hit hard by the Seabreeze Festival, people opting for pig racing instead of pod racing. The only people we know are on the right hand of the screen is my brother's mate from school, and in the middle is our religion teacher, who is doing some incredibly odd but rhythmic head bopping to the pre-movie music. But the time is here, the lights dim, and we hear it. The fanfare blares out of the tape to the walls, just installed surround sound speakers. The green logo glows. This is the new hope. Who knows what's yet to come? The future, at this moment, as you're about to watch The Phantom Menace, hasn't yet been written. Two prequels later, a D special edition, disappointments, promises, and a Blu-ray box set, we're catching up on time, and life is changing. The movies are broken out on sick days, and drunken nights, falling asleep on sofas, with nothing but the DVD menu of Empire on a constant loop until you wake. The coordinates are more spread apart now. 2015. Myself, those cousins, and some friends are boarding a plane to London to see The Force Awakens on the biggest screen we could find. And on Thursday, the 17th of December, at 10:15 p.m., the lights dim, people scream, and the green logo shines. It looks different, but it's still amazing. Things change. There's no fanfare now before Star Wars. And there's also a seat left empty beside me. My brother passed away the year before. We spend the weekend in London. I drink a small army's worth. We name ourselves Night Crew. 2017. Back in London with Night Crew. Same cinema for Last Jedi. Sober now. I sit down again with an empty seat beside me. The lights dim and the green logo appears. There's still no fanfare. But you would swear you can still hear it. It's too much of a part of this not to be there. It's an empty seat. That's the thing about time machines. When you fire it up, everything comes back. Once you can remember something, no one's ever really gone.